So please, everyone, move forward, move in, because the area is not completely full yet, but it will become more full. Ah, yes, the brahmacharis can come and sit up here. That's also a good idea. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You're welcome to sit down and listen and not stand up and take photos. So continuing the discussion that we're having this morning, request everyone to please stop talking, everyone within the pandal. Radhesh Prabhu, announce. Oh, Mataji ki kursiyan, beech mein hai. Jis se unke piche koi nahi dekh sakegi. Wo sab kursi side par rakhne chahiye. Hare Krishna. Continuing on the topics I was talking on, I was mentioning this Anyabhilashita Shunyam verse. Actually, as you all probably know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur stressed very much the preaching of the verse Labdva sudurlabha midang bahu sambhavante manusham arthadam anityam api hadhira turnam yatetana patetanumritya yavad nisrayasaya vishrayakalu sarvata syat. That having attained this rare human life, which is attained after many births, one knowing that it is rarely attained, it is very valuable, but it is temporary. We should act in a way before the inevitable death of this body, in such a way that we don't get born again, knowing also that sense gratification is available in every species of life. So I also, following the cue of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, also stress this. Of course, this is more appropriate to stress among Indian or Hindu audiences, because people in the West are so appallingly ignorant that they don't even know there is another birth, and that the human birth is very rarely attained. Another verse which I promote a lot, this is especially applicable within the society of devotees. This Labdva Sudurlabham verse is applicable for outside preaching to people who at least theoretically accept the concept of reincarnation. And within the society of devotees, having made that determination that I will come to Krishna consciousness and I will act in such a way, we should, having come to Krishna consciousness, act in such a way that we don't have to be born again. So for that we all have to adopt the attitude of Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnanakama Dhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktirutama. This attitude of acting, thinking, doing, speaking, everything in a manner that is favorable for the execution of devotional service. Eschewing the paths of karma and jnana, which in simple terms can be understood to mean that any thought of bodily sense gratification or mental or intellectual sense gratification, giving that up, we cultivate Krishna consciousness in a manner that is pleasing to Krishna. So I like to preach on this theme, because if we get this right, everything else comes right. If we don't get this right, then we won't get anything. We can go on chanting Hare Krishna, and go on chanting Hare Krishna, and Bahu Janma Kare Jadi Shravan Kirtan Tabutan Apai Krishna Pade Premadon. We won't get the fruit of chanting Hare Krishna, which is love of Krishna, if we make offenses. We may go on chanting for many lifetimes. So the root of all offenses is the attitude of separateness from Krishna, from wanting to enjoy separately from Krishna. That I am the servant of Krishna, I'm only meant for service to Krishna. And cultivating this attitude. And of course we have not only just to speak about it, but we want to create an atmosphere in which people come into this atmosphere and they can automatically sense that it's different. They may not understand what it is, but they can automatically sense that it's different. That means kirtan we don't do for sense gratification. Initiating disciples or becoming a disciple, we don't do with any thought of what can I get out of it for my own benefit. Everything we do, krishnarthe kila cheshta. Krishnarthe akila cheshta. Everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. And again, if we don't get this right, we can talk about Rasa Leela and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in the streets of Puri and his inner feelings. But if we don't get this basic thing right, nothing will be right. And if we get this thing right, then everything else will come in due course of time. We shouldn't get things back to front. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur warned, Roti age shraddha pache rupanuga balena. Followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, don't say that you get some taste first and then faith comes afterwards. But faith comes first, and then really developed, real, solid feelings for Krishna develop from that. That was the verdict of Saraswati Thakur. If we can imbibe and internalize this attitude, everything for Krishna, nothing for me. And of course, there's a lot more to it also. We have to serve the devotees, we have to follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, but this basic attitude, if we have this, we stick to the path, we're very careful, always praying to Krishna, then in course of time, we will attain the standard of pure devotion. It's just a matter of time. The example is given of an unripe mango and a fully ripe mango. They're both mangoes, but the unripe mango, if it remains on the tree, the weather is favorable, then it will become a ripe mango. It's just a matter of time. When you see tree full of green mangoes, then you think, oh yes, maybe in 1 month, 6 weeks, they'll start to fully ripen. It's just a matter of time, that's all. As long as the standard conditions are there, as long as someone doesn't come and steal them all, or the weather doesn't turn foul, or whatever. So it's very pleasant, as I was saying, it's very pleasant to be in the company of such devotees, and it generates an energy, and we all help each other to come up to that level. If we're all practicing like that, then we all help each other to come up in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, In materialistic society, people may be nice, polite, considerate, and they may even use terms like compassion and empathy, and they may even cultivate, according to their own understanding, such qualities. But because they don't know the goal of life, then underlying their supposed compassion and empathy and all this, there's always the what's in it for me. There's always the thought of what's in it for me, or if we're trying to help others, we can't properly help them. We may do harm for others in the attempt to do good for them. There was a series of books that was popular in the English language called Chicken Soup for the Soul, with little anecdotes about how people are being nice to each other. The title of the book is Chicken Soup for the Soul. The idea is that a mother lovingly feeds her child chicken soup, and that's supposed to be an emblem of selfless love. But the mother selflessly feeding chicken soup to her child is selflessly sending her child to hell, because she doesn't know that chickens are not meant for eating by saintly people, and that there is sinful reactions for that. And of course, if we say that, people may say to us, well, you're not being very compassionate, and you're not seeing the good side. But that's actually a very good example how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, commenting on this term, amando daya daya, it literally means non-harm producing mercy, that the so-called mercy of materialistic people, it actually does harm to others. Another example, at Eid in Islam, so many goats and sheep and cows are cut, and it's a very charitable activity to send for the rich people. They distribute meat to all the poor Muslims. So that's a very charitable, religious thing to do. That's harm-producing mercy. Only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is non-harm-producing. So this attitude of anyabhilashita shunyam, this has to be internalized. And we have to check ourselves all the time, because it's so easy to think that what I am doing must be pleasing to Krishna, but it might not be. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns that along with the creeper of pure devotional service, there may be many weeds which grow up, which resemble pure devotional service, but they're not. And he gives the warning, nishedacha kutinati jibe hingshan, lab puja pratishta di jato upashaka gon. He gives the example that one may be practicing devotional service, but doing activities that which are forbidden in pure devotional service. Or one may be diplomatic in behavior. Diplomatic means you speak in such a way to give an impression, but you have another, you speak one thing, but in your heart you have some other idea to manipulate someone or exploit them. Jive Hingshan is very clear. Direct violence to other living beings. Srila Saraswati Thakur explains that also as stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. That's also one kind of violence to living entities. And then there are the subtle desires for gain, monetary gain, property gain. So many people are kindly giving monetary contributions to myself, seeing me as their spiritual leader. So one may think that if I become a guru, then all my monetary problems will be solved. And it might be, but you won't get Krishna. You might get money, but you won't get Krishna. Labh, puja, pratishtha. These terms are quite close to the desire to be respected, to maintain or increase one's prestige, and to have some post, to be known. Materialistic people like to put MA, BSc, LLB, PhD. We may also desire such a thing, GBC, BBT trustee, initiating guru, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. We may like to strut out our titles. But if we think that this forms our identity, and we're more interested in people knowing us for this than in relating to us as God brothers, God sisters in the service of Srila Prabhupada and the parampara, then we lost track of what we should be doing. So again, it's a great pleasure to be with devotees. We're always recommended to keep association of devotees, but especially we want to keep association of devotees who are following in this pattern, anyabhilashita shunyam. And those who have their own agenda, they're doing all the right things, but maybe not for the right reasons. Or they may be doing some wrong things also. And that is justified. Just like you must be getting bored of me saying that you should not eat food which is not properly prepared and offered to Krishna. But it's a widespread thing. And it's a great obstacle in advancement in devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly says, Rupa Goswami directly tells us. So we should be very careful to associate with devotees who don't want to push us into doing things which are detrimental to our advancement. They might feel bad that if we don't want to eat the biscuits which are bought from a shop, and then they push us to do so. We have to say no. And then they get upset because it makes them look bad, or whatever. So it becomes very difficult to associate. We have to choose our association very carefully. If we don't want to become, that's another thing, we're not supposed to be judgmental. So we shouldn't be overly all the time looking for little faults in others. But at the same time, if we detect that someone's interacting with us in a manner that they want to control us for not the right reasons or exploit us, if they're not in the mood of being a servant of the Vaishnavas, then they have to be classified as a neophyte devotee. And especially we find this kind of people become leaders, and then they make their group, and then they put themselves up as a big leader, and people follow them blindly. We find that's common in India and in Russia and in places where people fairly easily come to Krishna consciousness. You can't get away with it very easily in America. I sometimes think that we see some devotees who have made themselves into a big local guru. Go to Japan and preach. See how well you do there. You're not just going to go out and say, I'm a big devotee, and expect anyone to take any notice of you whatsoever. Unless we have internalized, or we're always striving to internalize this attitude of anyabhilashita shunya, being without any other desire. It's not easy, but we have to always check ourselves, remind ourselves, we're only here to use this rare human form of life to serve Krishna. We're not meant for any personal gain, either gross or subtle, in the name of devotional service. So unless we internalize this attitude of everything for Krishna, then we're going to internalize a kind of kutinati, or deceitfulness, inner deceitfulness, and we may not even recognize it in ourselves. It may be that we're not even doing it deliberately. We may think, yes, I'm doing the best thing. Just like I see my guru is happy when I bring people to him to be disciples, so let me bring more and more people, and someone's already attracted to someone else to be there, but let me take them away and make them my guru's disciples. And they're not really following all the principles, but anyway, my guru is very merciful, so let me bring more and more devotees, and then my guru will be pleased. So it may be some kind of rationalization like this. I think some of you know what I'm talking about. It happens all the time. It's going on for years and years like this. If we say openly to them, they become very upset. So you can't deal with them or interact with them in a very open way. You always have to be careful what you say to them and how you interact, because anything you say, they'll take it and use it, and they have an agenda. Of course, disagreements, that's the very nature of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. The whole world is riddled with it, top to bottom, inside out, upside down, back to front, everywhere. Kale dosha nidhe rajan. This Kali Yuga is simply full of faults, and we can't expect that we just walk into the Krishna conscious movement and all of a sudden, boom, like some advertisement I used to see on the television, that someone's walking with the child is walking with some dirty clothes, and then his mother holds up the surf packet and boom, his shirt is emanating Brahma Jyoti, it's so bright. So it's not like that we just walk in and overnight we become all pure devotees, and it's inevitable that even in the society of devotees there'll be disagreements, there may be accusations, fault-finding, but on the one hand we have to keep our discrimination, see what is right and what is not right, at the same time not develop a fault-finding mentality. You're always looking for faults in others. It's hard to see exactly where to draw the line between we shouldn't be actively looking for faults, but at the same time we should know what is right and what is wrong. And it is, I was saying, that the children, they can be very pleasing to the parents, or they can be very displeasing to the parents. Parents nowadays, if they can get children at all, because that's quite common not to have children, If at all they have children, they don't usually want to go beyond one or two. It's too much headache to have too many children. That's what they think. Try having a few thousand children. Then it becomes inevitable that even among the best-intentioned devotees, there are disagreements, misunderstandings. It becomes a headache for me also. One group comes and says, another group comes and says, no, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm supposed to take one side or the other side or try and sort it out. And of course, I also have disagreements with my God siblings on various issues. But really, I don't want to leave this body thinking of the latest disagreement or political developments. We have to remember also, we can die at any moment. What are we going to be thinking of? Are we going to be thinking of Krishna? My one godbrother of ours, Tejas Prabhu, he just sent me an email in which he said that he had some ear infection, and he went to a doctor, I think it was somewhere Ranchi, somewhere like that. He had a severe ear infection, and the doctor, which is very painful. If you've ever had an ear infection in this life, you'll know they can be very, very painful. I have had. Have you had? It can be very, very painful. You can't sleep or any such thing. It's like having a toothache in your ear, something like that. So he went to the doctor, and the doctor got a scalpel and cut it. That was painful enough. Then he poured some alcohol in it, and Tejas called out, Krishna Govinda! And the doctor said, I wanted to see what kind of a devotee you are. There are other ways. At the end of life, we want to remember Krishna. Ante Kale, Ante Narayana Smritihi. I don't want to die thinking of this accusation and that accusation. At the time, now I've passed 67 years in this body, and it's the time when, of course, anyone can die at any time, but at this age, it's not surprising if someone suddenly dies. If someone at the age of 7 or 27, they suddenly die, they have a fever and they die, that's considered unusual. At the age of 67, it's almost expected. Old age has come. I'm feeling the import of the words in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukha Dosha Anudarshanam. Before I didn't know. You can't know how old age, and just the beginning of old age, it gets worse as you go along. But you don't know how debilitating it is, and it becomes a struggle just to do what previously you wouldn't even think about, and just a continual struggle with health and this and that. And of course, we see some people in older bodies, they're incredibly active and fit. The world's leading political figures, Modi, Xi, Putin, Biden, Trump, the most powerful politically, they're all quite old and they're very active, but at least I can say for myself that, I don't want to complain, but I'm just saying that it's beginning and helps you to get some realization of Bhagavad Gita. Some years ago, Sivaram Swami Maharaj, he wrote a Vyasa Puja offering in which he was reminiscing about the campaign in the 1990s, I believe it was, for saving Bhaktivedanta Manor from closure by British legal authorities, and how they appointed, the devotees appointed one top lawyer to represent them. Top lawyer will generally be an older man who's had a lot of experience and who's highly respected in the legal circle. So even before he says anything, people are taking him seriously. So to acquaint the lawyer with what the Hare Krishna movement is about, what they're doing, they gave him the abridged Prabhupada Lilamrita to read. So he read it. Lawyers, they read, and they read so much they can read and digest. So the next time Shivaram Maharaj saw him, this time Shivaram Maharaj must have been on 40-something years old. So the lawyer said to him that, "It's amazing what your guru did. You can't understand what he did." And Shivaram Maharaj thought, this man, he knows nothing about our movement, and I'm Prabhupada's disciple, and he's telling me that I can't understand what Prabhupada did. He said, "You can't understand because you're not over 70 years old." Because the lawyer was. He says, "You don't know what it means to be at this age." So I'm feeling the import of that, and beginning to feel it. I'm beginning to understand why Kulashekhar Alvar prayed, "Krishna Twadiya Padapankaja Panjarantam Adyaiva Me Vishatu Manasa Raja Hangsa Prana Prayana Prana Prayana Samaye Kapavata Pittai Kantava Rodana Vito Smaranankutaste." Krishna, take me now. Take me now, while my... This is how Srila Prabhupada explains this verse. That take me now while I'm healthy and I can think of you, because I don't know at the time of death when everything becomes choked up. Cough, mucus, bile and air is all disordered, and you can't... You may be trying to chant and you can't chant, you can't even think of Krishna. May the swan of my mind, like the swan goes around the lotus and takes the milk from the water, may my mind be tangled up in the nectar of your lotus feet. We see that's very common in old age. Someone seems to be going along very well, all of a sudden, gone. Very common in old age. Or it may be that someone's going on well health-wise, and then all of a sudden there's a major decline, they get some sickness, and they never really recover. Srila Prabhupada is a fully transcendental person, but from the external perspective, Harishori Prabhu told me once that all the time he was with Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was always in poor health. But it was early in 1977 that Srila Prabhupada's health really had a downturn. And I remember devotees coming back to London from the 1977 Mayapur festival, and we were asking them, how was it? How was Srila Prabhupada? They were all in a somber mood. They said that Srila Prabhupada's health was very poor. He was in Mayapur, he wasn't giving lectures. And after that, Srila Prabhupada's health never really picked up. So it may be that one's health goes into decline for a few days or a few weeks, or in Srila Prabhupada's case, a few months. Or it can be that someone's health goes down and they just stay at that level for years. I've seen one devotee in America. She was one God sister. She was caring. The God sister was over 70 and she was caring for her mother who had been lying on the bed for years. So that can be also. So it's realistic to consider, even though I'm younger than when Srila Prabhupada started his movement in the West, but it's realistic to consider that I might not have much time, that in this age also we get to realize that at least those of us who are benefited with the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, I was just talking about the politicians. It seems insane. Why are they still struggling for power in their old age? When they can pass away at any moment, why don't they take up Krishna consciousness? So at least we have that consciousness that we may not have much time. Those of you who are in older bodies can also consider, don't hang on to friends, family, all these things won't protect you at the time of death. If you haven't done it yet, it's time to get really serious about Krishna consciousness. In my case, there are many things I'd like to do in Srila Prabhupada's service. I know I have some god siblings like this also who want to do many things. But the time is working against them. My one god brother in Germany, Nikhil Ananda, I saw him in his dying days. After I saw him, I think within 10 days or so, he passed away. And he was regretting that Srila Prabhupada told him to see that all my books are published in all languages of the world, which is a huge order. But he said, I regret that I didn't do more for that. Of course, he did do a lot to help with some languages, but he felt as if, well, I didn't take that order to heart enough. There's a saying from the Bible that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, which can be understood in two ways. One is that we feel like we want to be Krishna conscious, but at the same time, the senses are pulling us. Our mind is weak. I want to be Krishna conscious, but Maya is calling. Or another way it can be understood, which is pertinent to what I'm discussing now, is that we have a desire to serve Krishna, but the physical body gives so many impediments. In the course of compiling a biography of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I came across the statement that he had a desire to produce many more books, but that he was unable to due to his so many duties in traveling and preaching. And actually, if you see his main literary works, they were in the earlier part of his preaching career, before things grew and grew and grew. And when I first came across that, I thought, well, that was a great loss for the world. If he'd have written more, that would have been so much more benefit for the world. It's almost like a case of prayas and shreyas, traveling and preaching, meeting people, encouraging them. That has an immediate effect. But writings, they have a long-term effect. So in the same way, I'm thinking that although, of course, my writings cannot be as valuable as his, we should always remember that when we say books are the basis, which Srila Prabhupada said, books are the basis of this movement, we are particularly referring to his books. One reason is that the four books he chose to present to the world in English language Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. These are the four core books of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And they're also enriched with the Bhaktivedanta purports, with his own realization and understanding and how to present this knowledge. So definitely Srila Prabhupada's books are the basis of this movement, but there are other books to be written also. You may say, well, why write so many books? Why go on writing books when there are already so many books and we don't have time to even read all the books? Well, one thing is that's an order. Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to write and publish books. Another thing is that's kirtan. It's a natural function of the soul to want to praise Krishna. Another thing is that there are so many books to further expand on what Srila Prabhupada has given. I just was given today a book by His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami called Srila Prabhupada's Instructions on Proper Kirtan, Srila Prabhupada's Standards, something like that. So that's, I haven't read the book, but that's a contribution to Srila Prabhupada's mission. There's so much writing to do, serving Prabhupada's mission. Srila Prabhupada, he said he wanted to translate Ramayana. I did the abridged version, and very happy to say I have it here in Chinese Ramayana. Jaisli Lam. So that's a contribution, an edition of Ramayana in which it's clearly established in the preface which I wrote in the beginning that Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I don't know if it's in the Chinese edition because I can't read Chinese. I hope it's there. Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness, Brahmacharya and Krishna Consciousness, these are contributions. I'm trying to make some literary contribution. Srila Prabhupada writes in an early purport in the Bhagavatam that the first duty of a person in the renounced order of life is to make a literary contribution for the uplift of mankind. So I'm trying to do that. I said I'm talking about myself. So what am I doing? What am I doing sitting up here? Well, I'm not sitting up here most of the time. Most of the time I'm sitting behind a computer screen. And you may wonder what I'm doing. But at the end of it all, books come out. So I'm now in the final stages of producing a book which will be more than 1,000 pages on the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada. It's a lot of work. When I say it's the final stages, again, it's not a boom like that. Final stages means maybe by the end of this year it'll be published. Maybe early next year. It's a painstaking, prolonged process. There are other books, major projects which I've started and done a lot of work on, which I'm looking to complete, books on Vaishnav culture, etiquette and behavior, guru and disciple in Krishna consciousness, family life in Krishna consciousness, sannyas in Krishna consciousness, Gita commentary, Chaitanya Charitamrita commentary. Where is the time in this lifetime to finish? It's easy to start projects, but to bring them to fruition, it's a very big job. I'm looking to get a writing team together to help me to go through all this, but getting the right kind of devotees to help with this, it's also not so easy. It's often we see devotees say, yes, yes, I'd like to help, but it's a lot of hard work, actually, to produce books. And it might not be very appealing to many, because looking for misspellings and editing, looking for language, considering how this will be received by the readers, is this really what you want to say? It's a specialized kind of service. But I'm thinking if I could get a writing team together. It has to be devotees. Simply linguistic skills is not going to be enough. But devotees who can sit without having to rush off here and there. It means some measure of sattva guna to be able to sit down and work steadily, day in, day out, on books. So I'm just, what I'm seeing in my mind, if I can produce some of these books before I leave this body. I'd like to finish all these books, but we can't control time. Obvious statement. We can make plans. We should make some plans, considering the reality of my age and my health. And if I'm going to finish these books, I should, as I've been saying for years, minimize my travel and concentrate more on this writing. And in the meantime, I'm being asked, please come here, please come there, please come somewhere else. It's a dilemma. Devotees want me to go to so many places, and I also want to go to so many places. But I need to put time into writing. And you may think, well, it's only if you come, it'll just one day to come, spend 2-3 days and then go back. It's only 3-5 days. Yeah, it's only 3-5 days and then somewhere else, and somewhere else. In this way, time is going on and on. Ramayana has come in Chinese, and of course we have it available in various languages also. Now is the time when there's Ram euphoria again. It was there some 30 years ago at the time when the Babri Masjid was destroyed. There was a lot of Ram euphoria at the time, and it's again come up. Don't put it down there. You need to read my Vaishnav etiquette book. I have to write it. You see, that's why I have to write the book. He's from a Vaishnav Brahmin family, and they want to put the book down here. So what did you want to say? You want to talk about Ramayana? We have Ramayana. Show it then. This is in English. What are the languages? Hindi. We have it available here in English, Hindi,
Marathi,
Gujarati, Telugu, Tamil, Russian.
Telugu.
Yeah.
Kannada.
Tamil. And Malayalam in progress. Bengali in progress. So now is a very good time. You can distribute widely Ramayana.
We have special discounts on bulk orders.
Special discounts on bulk orders. There's a table there, out the back, is it? And Sridhar Srinivas is going to be there.
We can readily send it, it will be dispatched.
It will be dispatched, you don't have to carry. Just give your name, give your money, and big discounts, and you can distribute money.
And easy to scan, QR code.
Easy to scan, QR code. Great, we'll make you the chief salesman. You already are, I guess. And actually, there's a good field because, especially in many places in Maharashtra, especially in Maharashtra, Andhra Pradesh, you go out distributing books and people already have Gita, Prabhupada's Gita. They already have Krishna book. And then Ramayana, they're open to that. One Mataji told me, she's going for book distribution in Pune area, and she said so many people have already got Prabhupada's Gita. But still they take, just out of respect that the devotees have come to my home, and they'll take another copy. And of course we have to sell sets of books. Think big. Sell sets of books. Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Fill people's houses up with books. You say, what will I do with all these books? Read them? But I'm not used to reading. All I read is my WhatsApp feed. Okay, well, make a habit. Do something new. Improve your life. This is our personality development program. Starts with reading these books. Great books, best books. So thank you very much for calling me to so many places. And I'll be happy to go. I'll also be happy to sit and write. The nature of writing service is that I'm somewhat withdrawn a lot of the time. I'm not out in the public with all the devotees. But I give recorded talks almost daily. So there are plenty of recorded talks. Maybe this year I'll finish my series of talks on Vishnu Sahasranam. Less than 50 names to go. Some of the talks got lost, so I'll have to repeat them. Please listen to that also. If I talk on polemic issues within ISKCON, we get a lot of hits. People are very interested. If I speak on Vishnu Sahasranam, glorifying Krishna, it's direct, there's nothing but glorification of Krishna. And there's less interest in that. Why is that? Shouldn't be. There are so many things I want to speak on, but writing has to come first. Many, many things to speak on. Okay, well that's a good cue for, because Hrishikesh Prabhu was asking for some time to speak on this app he's produced. I know what an app is, actually. I don't use apps. But you all know what apps are. So he's going to talk to you about that. It's some kind of program that you can use for accessing Srila Prabhupada's, his lectures and everything. So he's going to speak about that now. And I'll come back a little later. So I'm coming back and then we'll have Gaur Arati Kirtan. And then after that, I'm scheduled to meet a few. There's some scheduled meetings after the Kirtan in the Prasad area. So, yeah, please speak.